Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Coffee, 500 cigarettes, 1,000 miles of highway, and I ain't forgot her yet, but I'll keep on moving. I keep moving down the line. Ain't nothing in my mirror, just a cloud of dust and smoke. What do you expect when some old trucker's heart gets broke? Yeah, truckers' hearts get broke. But them big wheels of rubber gonna rubber off of my mind. Well, I'm a highway junkie and I need that old white line. 10 miles out of Nashville, I'm...
Hey, welcome everybody. Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Irish Radio. Appreciate you calling in. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. It's Tuesday, Valentine's Day. Man, oh man alive. Oh, I've been thinking about it all day. Wonder what I'm going to buy my motorcycle for Valentine's Day. Give us a call, 515-602-9731. Check us out at redneckandirish.com. That's where you can find links to all of our social media accounts, especially our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody getting on there and subscribing to our YouTube channel. We've been working on trying to get some new stuff out there for you, but I got a problem with just, you know, the technical stuff. That's what sucks. So just check it out. You've got some good videos over there. So we appreciate everybody's support. Redneckinize.com. You'll find links to all that. Links to all of our great sponsors. Great sponsor I want to thank right now is Trucker Tools. You can check them out at truckertools.com or download their app from your app stores, wherever you get your apps on your cell phone. It is Trucker Tools. Truckertools.com is the website. That's where you can track freight. You can book freight. It's like all those others. You know, like you got J.B. Hunt and Schneider has things online where you can book freight, like Uber Freight kind of thing. But it's Trucker Tools is the same way. But also they got other stuff where you can plan your route and find fuel stops and truck stops and maintenance and parking. They even have a thing where you can, where you can buy parking spots, where you can rent parking spots either for the night or for the weekend or whatever. It's just now catching on. What it is that, like, if you've got some property where you can do, like, some truck parking, then you call up that place, and they'll put you in their app where people will pay through the app. And I don't know how you police it or whatever like that, but, I mean, that's a really innovative idea, because I think that's the biggest thing is if you did have a place to park, if you were providing parking, like here, I've been living here in Corpus Christi for 5 years, almost six, and it's like maybe every 3 or 4 months I stumble across a place that provides long-term truck parking, where if you lived in the area and you needed to park a truck for the weekend or something like that, then you could. And that you know, I mean, as soon as I got into town, if you Google truck parking or paid truck parking or long-term truck parking, you wouldn't get stuff like that, you know. And come to find out, it's very, very necessary here in the Corpus Christi area. I'm not real sure for where you guys live at, but there's always truck drivers out there. I knew back when I was living in Dallas, there was a need for that. Pretty much that's why Landstar has a yard there. They wouldn't have a yard. I mean, they don't really need a yard. There's no dispatchers or anything in Landstar. There might be a few. I don't know. But it's like, basically, it's just they've got some human resources people there, some compliance people to keep, you know, they do an orientation there. But mainly it was a parking lot for the owner-operator so they can, you know. And, I mean, yeah, you might drop a trailer there because you got to – but, I mean, really, all it is a place where owner-operators can park and park their cars and then, you know, go home because you can't take the trucks to a normal neighborhood. You know, they used to, if you had a long driveway where you could park it, you know, keep it in the driveway – they don't even want that anymore. When I was living in Central Texas, the city ordinance said you had to have it behind a fence and it had to be at least 10 foot away from the other property lines or from all the property lines. And you know how many driveways are right on the property line, right? So, yeah, it's crazy. So don't know. Tell me what you think. 515-602-9731. I've been checking out some trucking news. Ain't too much going on. Let's see here what we got. And supply chain dive. What's that? Falling truck rates give what? Give supply chains chances to cut costs. And it says supply chain dive, supplychaindive.com. Lower demand in the spot market means there's no better time for a shipper to find efficiencies, a C.H. Robinson executive said. Oh, yeah, that's exactly who I want to take advice from as a spot market truck driver is from C.H. Robinson. They're the ones cutting the damn rates. C.H. Robinson is calling up, you know, when the customer calls C.H. Robinson and says, hey, you know, I need to haul some freight. Oh, yeah, you're going to pay. You're definitely going to pay. But if you are a truck driver and you call C.H. Robinson, oh, that don't pay that good. That don't pay that good. That don't pay that good. I mean, that's basically what it is. I was trying to get this picture here. This guy, his loading ramp going onto the dock, I don't understand. Of course, I think I've done this before. A lot of times you see these big docks. There, it's like a train yard dock, and it's just a big long piece of concrete and all the doors and everything. They might be like 20-foot doors, but there's a good what is that, like a 6 or 7 foot in between the dock edge and the doors, and so there's a big open area, and trucks can just squeeze in the best you can. And a lot of times there's no dock plates or anything. It's all just one big piece of concrete going down the way. So you kind of got to bump the dock, and there's no really good way to pallet jack anything unless you got a ramp. And a lot of these places, they don't have them. So you got to make your own. And I had a lift gate, and I would have to, like, stay back about a good, I don't know, 4 feet, maybe three to four feet from the dock and use my lift gate as the way to, you know, use it as a ramp to get so it would be on top of. And that way it would drop off. And this guy here, man, he's got it big time on there. That picture they're showing, it's crazy. That's what I noticed. I noticed this. That don't look right. It says conditions fueled by the pandemic and shippers seeking any means necessary to meet customer orders have waned. And that's what it is that no longer need to spend a bunch of money on trying to get the freight there right now, because everybody's pretty much saying, you know what? Yeah, we're all good. You know, we don't need it that bad. Or we're not paying that much because inflation hit so hard and the downturn. I mean, we're going to get a downturn. This year will be a downturn. And let me tell you something. What will happen is, and I pay attention to a lot of these political shows, and really it's from a political science, political strategy point of view that Biden has to go through hard times right now. That way, by the time the general election comes around, by the time you hit July of 24, okay, things will start picking back up again. And then as he's debating whoever it might be Trump, he can say everything's all right. But see, he didn't do it before the midterms, and that's why he didn't do that bad. You know, the Democrats pretty much won the midterms, you know, the in between. Right, they kept the Senate and barely lost the House. And basically what that was that they were spending money and milking it through the whole thing. And that's why we're still seeing inflation. I mean, it's still at 6%, still at 5%. Okay, our goal is 2. So that's crazy, you know. And you're talking about, you say, what does that mean? Well, back in July or June or whenever, when it hit 9%, that's year over year. What that means is that this time last year, it was 6% less than it was now, than it is now. So next month, if it falls down, you know, I mean, that's what it is. It's year on year. Well, what they're going to see is what you're always going to look at and what the politicians are going to tell you, that it's down drastically because it was at 9%. Now it's at 6. So it's down drastically. No, just like spending. You know, Biden will tell you he cut deficit spending because he's not spending money that he doesn't have, right? But the problem is that during COVID, they blew it out so much. You know, you see all this government spending going on before COVID. And then boom, they had to blow it out, right? And then now Biden's saying, well, I reduced the deficit spending. Well, no, you didn't. You reduced the COVID deficit spending. We're still spending right now. We're still spending more money, a year than Trump did when he took office. Okay. Trump blew out the spending in 2020 because I'm telling you right now, we will never, ever have that happen again. You will never, ever. I mean, okay, first off, something's got to give. And this all this debt that we've accumulated, you know, it's going to come to a point where we can't pay it back. It's just going to happen. There's how many of you out there run your households and ever been in a situation where you've borrowed money, used a credit card, and now you got to the point where the interest rates were so outrageous and the monthly minimum payments are so much that you weren't making enough. You weren't making enough money to cover that, to even pay the credit card minimum due. And if you just pay the minimum due, you'll never pay it off. And that's why it's coming down right now, is that we'll never. I mean, really, what they've done, what they're doing with the debt, I think one guy said that we're actually borrowing money just to pay the interest on the money we've already borrowed. We're not even trying to pay back the money we borrowed. We're just trying to pay the interest on it. And it's crazy. It's crazy. So something's got to give, man. Something's got to give. We're about to head off the cliff, okay? And I've already explained Social Security. I was told a couple of times, there ain't no problem with it. Okay, I got told. You know, I went did research. So 2035, Social Security will have to be decreased by 25% in order to pay the checks, because unless we borrow more money, you know, and that's what it is, borrow more money. Right now, the way Social Security works is that there's not enough money coming in to pay the bill, so they're dipping into the trust fund, which they had built up back in the 50s and 60s. You know, whenever they started it, you had like 40 people working for every one person that was collecting Social Security back when it first started. Now it's 3-1, and it soon will be 2-1, where think about that. That when it first started, 40 people were working, paying taxes, paying the retirement to one person. So all that money that was extra was going into a trust fund. It was being put away. And it was supposed to be earning interest, which it was doing. It was doing good. Everything was doing good. Back in the 80s when we were having problems paying, the retired deal. So they dipped into, there's three different trust funds. There's all the ones you see, there's one for retired, there's one for the Medicare, and there's another one for like the Medicaid or the welfare part, right? So what they did was, is back when they were having a hard time paying for the Social Security, the retired part, they borrowed from the Medicare part because Medicare was going in, not a lot was getting spent on that. So then they repaid it because, I mean, that was in the 80s. And they were a little bit more responsible back then. They understood what it was. You know, even though they were borrowing money, they weren't borrowing nearly as much money. And, I mean, I'll tell you right now, anybody that has – well, I mean, Joe Biden, you know, it's so funny to me that all the people you see in the Congress right now, all the old people, they were around when that was going on. But, you know, they don't care anymore. I mean, they absolutely do not care. Don't even never think for a minute that the politicians give a damn, okay? They don't. They don't give a damn, because if they gave a damn, they would quit because they knew they were worthless. You know, it's one of those things. If you're a responsible, mature person that understands that you're the problem, then you need to step aside and say, I'm the problem. I'm out of here. That's the reason why we're not doing good is because of me. I'm gone. Or if you want to be responsible, tell the truth and say, I can fix it. This is how, and tell the truth. And you got a couple of them like that, but they don't have enough power, and they're not saying it when it needs to be said. So, you know, I don't. It's going to hell in the handbasket, buddy. We're out of here. It's done. So, new TA Express opens in Missouri with 52 truck parking spaces. They're building a Petro Express up on 37, up in just south of San Antonio. The route that I run, just south of San Antonio, they're constructing a Petro Express. I really do hope that it's a big truck stop. It's got a lot of spaces. It says it's an express. To me, when they say express means that the store is small, but you know, 52 parking spots is nothing to shake a stick at. That's pretty good. The problem I see where I live, and the route I run, I stopped at the truck stop. The truck stop's one of those little rinky dink. It's called like Texas Express or something like that. Express Mart or something. But, I pulled in, I used to pull in there all the time. And then when I started bringing my lunch and I needed a microwave, they didn't have microwaves. So I said, well, I ain't stopping here no more. So then I stopped in there one time because I was tired. I needed to take a break and I pulled in there and, the place was full of all that oil field trucks, Halliburton, all that stuff, just full. And they had cars parked in the parking lot as well. So that means that, and this, I think this was a Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. So this is kind of what they do when they're not working on the weekend. This is where they park. So I went in and I used the restroom and I forgot what I got, like a little breakfast fajita or something like that they had there already cooked and everything. And I was talking to the lady that was checking me out, and I said, "This y'all need to take the sign down. This is not a truck stop. This is a Halliburton dispatch office." And she's like, "Yeah, I know. It's crazy, isn't it?" I said, "Well, you know," I said, "you don't have to worry about me stopping here no more. You know." So I hope the TA Petro people don't allow that to happen there at their place. Because we need more truck stops because of the stuff like that, you know. And there's truck stops in San Antonio. There's truck stops in Dallas. And everywhere you go, you pull in somewhere in a big city, and the truck stop is always full, and they charge for parking or something like that. Because the only reason they have to charge for parking is because of that, is because of the fact that you got people parking there for the weekend or parking there and then going home. Maybe even staying a week, and the truck just stays at the truck stop, and the truck stop's not big enough to handle it. And so they have to charge for parking, which runs them off, or just they pay for parking, whatever, you know, that kind of thing. So yeah, you got to watch out for that. A lot of times you'll pull in there and you'll see a lot of cars. The cars are parked in the spots to save the spot. So when they come back on Friday night or Friday morning, there's a parking spot for them, you know, that kind of crap. It's got to stop, dude. We were just talking about truck parking, you know, and long-term parking for when you go home on home time. And, you know, there's a need for that. So if you've got property, or if you know somebody that likes to invest in property, you know, there's something to be, some money to be made there, I think. So, and everybody, you know, talks about not wanting to pay for parking. Well, when the government keeps charging taxes, you know, if they keep charging property tax on the property used for parking, then you're going to have to pay for it, bottom line. Or when truck drivers can't take care of it and they, you know, they spill stuff on the parking lot, or they dump their trash on the parking lot and it's got to be cleaned up, got to be maintained, you're going to have to start paying, bottom line. So tell me what you think, 515-602-9731. Go check us out, redneckandeyes.com. Let's see here. There we go. And so, this is Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. That's Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. in Texas. And like I said, check us out. We're here, Redneck and Eyes Radio. We'll see you in a second.
Sun has opened up my eyes. I don't want to leave your side for that lonesome road. But here I go, climbing back behind the wheel, a 50 feet of chrome and steel and alone. They need in Chicago. Through the middle of the night unknown, on a ride that won't let me go. Out here on the wind.
sometimes late at night. I see your picture by the dashboard light. It takes me where I'd like to be, wrapped up in a blanket there, pulling ribbons from your hair and your kiss. Girl, that's what I need. Still I drive these horses through the rain and snow. This high-speed rodeo is all I know. I'm in last old cowboy, born to run underneath the stars. They know my two-mile-away heart as I ride, ride. I'll be out here on the wind, and I'll ride. Till I'm back in your arms again, and I'll be out here on the wind.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Keep it on the ground when I put that hammer down. But I'll be Texas bound and I'll fly. I got my team in the wind, let it all hang out again. How you gonna win if you ain't trying?
Well, now we're all back together and we're burning up the road. And that old sheriff's out there dogging us again. He thinks he's really got it cooking. Plans to do a lot of booking. The only trouble, he keeps looking where we've already been.
So if I can keep it on the ground when I put that hammer down, then I'll be Texas bound and I'm flying. Keep it on the ground when I put that hammer down. Then I'll be Texas bound and a flyer. I got my tin in the wind, let it all hang out again. Cause how you gonna win if you ain't trying?
Now Smokey and the Bandit is a tale you don't forget. Cause every time you hear an engine scream and whine, well, you have to think about old man, old Buford, Frog, and Fred and Snowman. Their story is a legend that will live on in time.
So if I can keep it on the ground when I put that hammer down, then I'll be Texas bound and I'm flying. Thank you.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneckinize. Redneckinize, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
Welcome back, everybody. Hey, this is Ed with Redneckinize Radio. Appreciate everybody joining along. Give us a call, 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit one. We're kind of kicking back, talking about, well, freight rates. C.H. Robinson says, yeah, who gives a damn, right? There's another one here. It says, high driver turnover, ? Spoiler alert, it could be the pay. This is trucknews.com. It says, when Glenn Parsons purchased all chemists, specialty carriers in Langley, British Columbia. This might be a Canadian-based outfit here. Not real sure. Says he knew he had his work cut out for him. He says the former owner of Coastal Pacific Express, CPX, was enjoying retirement mode. When I spoke to him about his latest venture, he was wintering in Mexico. But the opportunity to take something broken, says all chemists, was languishing as an afterthought under CPX's new ownership when he bought it. The fix it was appealing. So he took a leap and in 2015 purchased the tanker fleet and was back in the trucking business. I first interviewed Parsons in 2005 when he was a co-owner of CPX. He had a good story to tell about the company's approach to the business. His motto was simple. If uncommon, says people came first, the customer second, profits a distant third. That year, CPX shared $400,000 in bonuses with its staff, including drivers. Parsons wanted to bring the same approach to all chemists, and he knew something had to change. Oh, excuse me. Got some barbecue pulled pork here, so enjoying that during the commercial break here. Said the driver turnover was 75%. The business couldn't continue to function like that. And what that means, so 75% means that each month it was probably around 5 or 6%. What they do is to get an annual rate, they take all of the percentages and add them together. They don't get it. They don't want an average. They just add them all together. So if you average 5% in 1 month, 5% the next month, 5% the next month, that's 60% turnover is what they call it. That's what I was told. And it's silly. You're right. Silly. But that's what they go by. He says the business couldn't continue to function like that, especially since it was a tanker fleet requiring extensive training for new hires. He says, while truck drivers leave, he says, why do drivers leave trucking companies? It's often said by employers that it's not about the money, but ask drivers, and yes, it is about the money. I tell you, I mean, so it's, in my opinion, it's probably a mix, okay? It is a masterful mix. It's not just about the money, but it's money is a big deal. That's what I would say. I would say money is probably 60% of the reason why people leave or stay. Okay. I work for a company that I make pretty good money at. I make damn good money. Okay. They do a lot of crap that pisses me off, but guess what? As long as the check clears, because it is good money. Now, if that money wasn't that good, then I would leave, okay? If the money was better and they did more to piss me off, I don't know, you know? I mean, but really, if they did more to piss me off, if they had more crap that we had to put up with, then it might not be worth it. To, you know, even though the money seems pretty good, it might not be worth it. I mean, sometimes when you've got a, I mean, we had drivers here where I work at the local building here, the local office, drivers quit. And they were making the same amount of money as I was. Maybe not at the time, but at that time, they were making just as much money, right? I mean, now because of COVID, everybody get a raise and we're expected to have another big raise. But that's just inflation, you know? I mean, if you think inflation is 2% a year, year over year, and then your raise should affect that, should be 2% every year at least. And some companies outperform inflation, some companies don't. So what you do is you just look at the time that you're given the raise, check the inflation rate, and it should be the same. And it should be more because it's kind of like an average, month to month kind of thing. And they should go by that. But what I was getting at is that it's not all about that. The drivers here were making really good money, but they could not get along with the boss. The boss, the guy they were dealing with every day, just, you know, they were pulling their hair out because they just did not get along with him. And so, you know, they either got run off or they quit. You know, we had another guy. I mean, there's a reason why you make good money at some places. You know, just like this tanker carrier, right? Yeah, drivers should be making a good money. You should be making really, if you have to get hazmat endorsement and you have to deal with hazmat, we had to follow a lot of rules and maybe even do it more paperwork. But above all, you're dealing with dangerous stuff, okay? You need to be making damn good money. Damn good money. Better. Hazmat should be paid more. If you're hazmat endorsed, you should be paid a premium. That is a premium. Okay, bottom line. Now, so if this company here weren't paying their drivers premium money to do hazmat tanker, then then yeah, they're not going to stay. They're going to go work because there are places out there that pay good for that. So that was the problem here is that they have a higher standard. You have to deal with hazardous material. You got to work. You got to unload freight. You know, you might have to even work the dock. You have to work a forklift, or you have to maybe help load freight, you know, in an LTL business, right? And so we had a driver here, and all he wanted to do was drive. He didn't want to do that. He wanted to drive. So he wanted to get paid this premium rate, this premium money, and only drive. And and they told us that that's not how it works. You got to do all this other stuff too. And he's like, no, I ain't doing it. And he quit. So, yeah, it's not necessarily the money, but it is the compared to the job you have to do. And that's really what it boils down to with a free market system that we have, you know, that we built in the United States. You know, minimum wage sucks, but because, minimum wage actually helps sustain a good, you know, where you make good money just for showing up. But the problem is that you should be paid on the work you're required to do. So if they want you to come clean toilets, you know, if you're willing to do that for $10 an hour, that's all you. Okay, you couldn't pay me. You'd have to pay me $50 an hour to clean toilets. Okay, that's you know, it's one of those things where certain people have a certain degree of value, you know, and it's amazing that there are people out there. I mean, I even see it. I even see it in the people I know, you know, people I know that they have jobs where they don't work that hard, but they make really good money, and the only reason is because they see their value and they say, you're going to pay me. And if you don't pay me, I'll find somebody who will, that kind of thing. And that's what it is. And I think a lot of us truck drivers, we need to have that mentality. You know, we show up, we just need a job. You know, we party too much. You know, maybe had too many kids. Maybe got too many ex-wives. We need money, right? So that's the system that we've created for ourselves, because if we could do that, we, you know, make money and be able to enjoy life. The other thing that truck driving does is you make good money, but you work a lot of hours. So, you know, what's the use of making good money if you ain't got time to spend it? So, yeah, it's one of those things. Tell me what you think. 515-602-9731. That's the phone number. Appreciate everybody joining in. One of our great sponsors, that's DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com. Those are the guys that do the aftermarket stuff, or not aftermarket. Why I keep saying that? It's the diesel particulate filter parts, you know, the SCR, if you're using death fluid, you got all that fancy technology that not a lot of people know about. But DPF Regeneration, they've done the research and they've done it, and they got the parts. They even got a way, they know who to call to help you out. You can give them a call at 800-634-3010. Check them out, dpfregeneration.com. That's DPF Regeneration, and we appreciate all their support of Redneck and I. So, yeah. But that's, you know, that's what they do. So appreciate all their support, DPF Regeneration. They love truck drivers. I'll tell you what, man. You want a company that cares about truck drivers and loves truck drivers, that's DPF Regeneration. And they've done a lot of work and supported a lot of events and a lot of things because of DPF Regeneration. So, or, you know, they've done it because they love trucking. They love truck drivers. So, yeah. So check them out, DPF Regeneration at dpfregeneration.com. So yeah, check them out. So we're rocking and rolling here, kicking back. I mean, you know, there ain't nothing else going on. I was reading this article here, and it's what we, you know, you ain't got to tell me nothing. You know, this article here, it's like we've been saying, you know, truck drivers have been saying this for years and years. And it's like you need a, you know what it is? It's a, you see that commercial? It's been going around. It's a, what is it? I think it's Geico. It might be a Geico commercial, but the guy's sitting there and he's talking to his dad and he's talking about how I can't afford stuff. I can't pay my bills and I'm struggling. And he's like, well, maybe you should switch to Geico and you can save money on your insurance. And he's like, I don't know. Then he looks over there and there's old Carl from Family Matters. You know, he used to be on TV, and you know how these TV dads, like Leave It to Beaver, you know, the dad, all the dads, they were always wise and they said the right thing. Growing Pains, the dad was always really wise. And even in Full House, you know, what's his name? Bob Saget, the dad, the main dad, he was always great advice. you know, and everybody looked up to him in the show, you know. So Carl Family Matters, right? So he's over there in the couch, and he goes, "So what do you think, TV Dad?" And he's like, "I think you should switch to car insurance, switch your insurance to Geico." He's like, "That sounds like a great idea." And the real dad's like, "I just said that." You know, and he's like, "Yeah, but, you know, you didn't say it with love. You know, you need to be related." And he's like, "That's my son. He's my son." And like that. And it's kind of like, this reminds me of that, because truck drivers have been saying what this guy says, right? Pay us money. We need to be paid. We need to be taken care of. Drivers first, customer second, profits a distant third. You know, that's what truck drivers have been saying for years, but nobody believes truck drivers. They have to have the millionaire trucking carrier owner to say it before the, oh, maybe there is something to that. Well, yeah. I mean, it's not rocket science, you know? That's what it reminds me of that. So, yeah, I'll put this article on our Facebook page. This is an interesting read, because it's like, you know, we've been saying it. And I just think it's hilarious, because, yeah, truck drivers have been saying this for years, and that's what I'll put on there. So check us out, redneckandeyes.com. Go subscribe to YouTube channel. And we'll be back here in a second. I'm going to put this on Facebook here, and we'll be right back. So check it out. We'll see you in a second. It's Redneck and Eyes Radio.
You give me something way beyond revenue. You put the magic in me. I feel the magic when we do what we do.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you've got a redneck and I.
Everybody, I'm just checking the internet right now. I just come across Twitter. I'm checking it out here. There is a major toxic hazardous material spill in Tucson, Arizona. Looks like a yardstick 273, according to this picture. I'm fixing to put it on Facebook where everybody can see the pictures. There's no link to any kind of article or anything. I retweeted the video on our Twitter, but I'm trying to... can see if I can do it that way. And I'll put it on Facebook. It's like yellow smoke coming out of the truck. It's a Landstar truck overturned in the median, and the yellow smoke is dripping out. They say it's nitric acid. And, I mean, they shut the highway down. The wind's blowing it across the one lane. And cars are going through there. But I don't know. They got crews on the scene right now. And that happened at about, it says 5:30, but I don't know if that's 5:30 local time, which would have been about maybe 20 minutes ago. I'll post it on Facebook right now where you can go check it out. But it's a Landstar truck overturned in the median about the 273 mile marker on Interstate 10 in Tucson, Arizona. It's has some material spill. It's leaking out, and there's like yellow smoke coming out of the trailer, and extremely toxic. They've issued a shelter in place. I guess get indoors or out of the, you can see it. They say it's like it's visible from like a half a mile away. You can see the yellow smoke. I've got pictures and video here that I'm about to share on our Facebook, but it's crazy. I'm here if I can type right. I-10. Oops. Why do it that way? Yeah, that's how you do it. And downloads. Landstar. Yeah, we were just talking about how hazardous material you need to have. You know, if you're working hazmat, you should be being paid a premium. And this is why, right here. So, yeah. Check your people. Tucson, Arizona, Interstate 10, exit 273. Just happened at about 5:30 local time. They're issuing a shelter in place. It's like yellow smoke. Yellow-orange smoke coming out of there. Yeah, I figured it's Robbie here. Robbie, well, you got people down there?
Hey,
what's going on?
No, actually,
nobody?
Yeah, I had a buddy of mine. I just got off the phone with him a little bit here about 10 minutes ago. He was running through it. It actually happened about 3:30 local time, not 5:30.
Mm. Mm.
Because he was going around it, and I was talking to him. So.
Yeah,
I guess...
The video
so
the like
link
the video.
That he sent me on it, it was more like an orange smoke that they didn't have information on it.
That's a yellow orange smoke. I mean, it's like that. It's a deep yellow. You know, it's probably orange,
yeah.
And then as it thins out, it's yellow. But yeah,
right.
Pictures to our Facebook page, you can check that out, and then there's a video. There's a link to a video where somebody took it as they were driving by, and the people posted it on Twitter. So, yep, that's, we were just talking about this one company. They weren't being paid. The company wasn't paying drivers very well, and their turnover was like around 75%. And because they were a tanker, which pretty much they're probably hauling a lot of hazardous material, and they said, well, you got to get paid good if you want to haul hazmat. And, you know, I think even Landstar, they probably don't pay enough for their hazmat.
Oh, no. It don't matter what company you drive for. Hazmat drivers do not get paid what they should be getting paid. That's why I do not have my hazmat endorsement.
Exactly.
Do that. They don't pay enough.
Yep. I agree with that. But, yep. Yeah, I was just getting ready to
hope the driver's all right that in that accident, but
yeah, there's no reports of anything because the truck rolled over in the median right there in Tucson, and you know it's heavy traffic, you know, yeah. That flat area there, and no way to know to right now. I was trying to see if there was any kind of articles like in the local news or if the local news was covering it, and I don't see anything. So,
no. No, actually, I think the link that he did send me was the news. Let me look real quick. All it says is Tucson.com, whatever that was.
Yeah, I just got it here. It's was it KGUN 9? KGUN? Channel 9? Channel 9 Tucson? ABC News?
Hmm.
And, it says people warned to shelter in place due to the nitric acid spill. And they've got a big
picture. They must have updated. No, they got a nitric acid.
Yep.
So. But they don't have much on it. Not a whole lot of info on it. Just a truck overturned and he was in the, he had this on him. Shelter. They were doing like a 2 mile or a mile radius of.
There we go.
Stay away from it. Would you find a video on it?
Yeah. Just see what this guy says. He's talking about that. I mean, looks like he drifted off and went into the media because of the angle.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's hard to say what they do. It's wrecking on dry pavement roads, but you are in Arizona. They think they have to run 100 mile an hour everywhere.
That's true, too.
Oh, man, some of the traffic here, if you're not doing 75-80, you're getting your ass run over.
Oh, yeah.
There's people that run through the city doing 100 mile an hour. They don't care.
Well, I mean, the irony is that Swift, one of the slowest fleets in the country, is based out of Phoenix.
Yeah.
That's what the funny thing is. I remember they were back in the day. This was like in maybe 99, 2000. There was always rumors that the state of Arizona was trying to pass a law requiring Swift to raise their governors because speed limit thing, you know, because everybody likes to drive fast in Arizona. So the state of Arizona was trying to make the Phoenix raise their speed limiters. I thought that was funny because, I mean, you're not gonna, you know, they'll just move, you know.
There's a lot of, it's not a time I've been at home. Over the winter, I pay attention more and more. They just stop signs. What's that?
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, that's
red
Tucson.
Lights,
you know,
what's that?
Tucson is like Laredo. You know, they don't the lanes don't matter. Red lights, stop signs don't matter. Yep, take to the shoulder. Shoulder is a turn lane.
Oh no, shoulders get around traffic.
Yeah, that too, yep.
Yeah, I don't care.
We tell everybody that my biggest thing about Laredo is that they have those little sticks in the middle of the road to keep people from changing lanes because of the traffic, and there's no sticks.
Mm-hmm.
They're all been run over.
Yeah, they don't care.
No, they don't care.
There's a lot of people that really don't care anymore. It's all about them, and that's it.
I forgot to do that.
You know, today I had something going on with my electrical plug, and I actually had another driver say that I, because I'm oversized right now, that I didn't have no lights in the back, and I was shocked because he actually said something, got my attention. Hey, he didn't have a radio because he was in a day cab, but still, it was, he got my attention on it.
Right.
But that's another story why we had electrical problems, so
no.
We discussed that on the radio. What else was on the agenda tonight?
There was an article. Well, that was one of the articles that I was reading was this. I don't do that no more. The article I was reading was a trucking company owner. Like this guy, he owned a trucking company and he was a partner in a trucking company and he retired. He's, you know, made his money, you know, living high on the hog and all that. And he saw this other trucking company, I guess, down where up in Canada where he lived, and they were actually going out of business. So he bought them, and he turned it around because his philosophy was you got to pay the drivers more, you got to take care of your drivers, and then take care of your customers second, and then profits come a distant third. And I shared it to a Facebook page. It's like, well, yeah, a truck driver's been saying this all along, you know. I mean. It kind of reminds me, I don't know if you've seen those commercials where Geico Insurance and the guy's wondering how he can save money, and his dad, his real dad, says, switch to Geico, and he doesn't really believe him. And he says, what do you think, TV dad? And the TV dad says, you should switch to Geico. And he goes, that makes sense. And his real dad's like, I just said that, you know, and this is what it is. The truck drivers here are all saying, you know, hey, if you paid us more money, we would do a better job. You would get better drivers. And now nobody believed them. You know, now you got a millionaire carrier owner saying that's what you do in order to have a good company. You got to pay your drivers well. Oh, no kidding. You know?
Yeah, it's like you look at the big companies. We won't say no names, just all of them, all in general. The one that have, you know, more than 1,000 drivers, I would say, they don't care. They're waiting in line. They don't care if they're treating their drivers right. They'll treat them more like crap than anything. And then we got someone waiting in the back wing. In the back parking lot, we got another driver waiting for your truck.
Yeah, I mean,
get your stuff out he's loading his stuff up about an hour after you get your stuff out.
Well, I think their biggest problem is, in my opinion, there's probably a lot of people that work for those big companies. They say, we would love to pay our drivers more. We just can't afford it. Because they've got all these people. I mean, when you've got 10 VPs ahead of the same thing and you're paying all of them $100,000 a year to do nothing, then yeah, you can't afford it. If you would fire a lot of these useless jobs you have in your corporate office, if you would downsize your corporate office and those people need to work, you know, I mean, it's so funny to me when I was working in the office, there were people in there. They were like, I don't get paid enough to do this job. You know, and I was like, why don't you go out there and do the truck driving job? You know, and they were one of the rules should be is don't hire anybody to work inside the office unless they have a CDL and they've actually done the job for like 10 years. Go drive a truck for 10 years before you're allowed to sit in the office. You're not allowed to sit in the office unless you did the job for 10 years. Because then
all those people, 100%.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of people in those offices. They've seen a truck. That is it. They've never been behind the wheel.
Yep, and they all say, my grandfather was a truck driver, or my father was a truck driver, and he goes, that don't cut it. You still don't know, you know, and everything.
No,
so,
that don't cut it. That don't cut it at all.
Yeah, so and that's what it is all those people, they you know, and I was saying, in my opinion was, is that they were saying that the money is the most important thing, and it's like, yeah, it's probably one of the most important things, but like if I was working at some place making good money, and they treated me like crap, I mean, I'd definitely be weighing my options. I wouldn't take the crap unless I was making good money. But it's kind of like if I wasn't making that good of a money, but I had a really easy job and a good employer or a good gig, you know, as long as I was making money, I'd probably be really happy with that. But other than that, it doesn't matter the more money. It's not more money. It's just there's a know the worth kind of thing. You know, you got to know your value to know, hey, I'm going to do this job, you know, but I got to put up with crap. Well, if I got to put up with your crap, then you better pay me, that kind of thing. You know, that's why I went from the office back onto the road, because I was doing that job. And I said, y'all, all of you people that are my bosses, you guys can go home and go find another job. I can do this job and your job. You pay me more money. The drivers will be happy, because the problem is that the higher up the ladder you go, those people that never drove a truck,
the less
but
you care.
Well, not only that, they go up the ladder and they've never driven a truck, and they treat the drivers like crap. And it's like all the drivers, I remember drivers, they would come to me and they said, the terminal manager wants to talk to you. And they would say, well, you need to be in the office with me because you need to hear what he has to say. Cause I don't want to talk to that guy, cause he don't know. And I mean, I've heard drivers tell these terminal managers. I mean, I've seen these drivers, man, these guys that have been doing it 20 years, you know, you think Greg, you know, I mean, that's why I understand why Greg does what he does a lot, because I've seen drivers, they tell these terminal managers, you know, these guys are making 200 grand a year, you know, 300 grand a year running a whole terminal. And these truck drivers have been doing it a long time. And they're like, you don't know what they go off on this guy. And it's like, because it's you got a problem. I'm telling you how to fix the problem. You won't listen to me. So you need to kiss my ass, that kind of thing, you know? And yeah, you know, I mean, there've been tons of them. I've seen them do that because it's one of those things where they look at me and they say, you know, you've only been doing it 10 years, but guess what? You've got a hell of a lot more knowledge of the trucking industry than that guy over there telling you what to do, you know, so that kind of thing. So, yeah, that's how it goes.
But they had a bachelor's degree in management.
Marketing, yeah, marketing or philosophy or whatever.
Marketing,
yeah.
Man, yeah, whatever. Yeah, whatever. It's not hard to be a freaking dispatcher. You don't need no degree.
I mean, that's when they brought me in to the office, I was talking with one of the fleet managers, and he was one of these guys. He was, you know, Marine, truck driver, became a fleet manager, and I said, you know, I really don't know what I'm doing. And he goes, it doesn't matter, dude. He says, you got good road experience. You will catch on quick. All you got to do is understand where the drivers are coming from. He says, you figure that out, which you already got, it's a piece of cake. He said, there's guys in there right now that have been doing the driver manager job for, you know, 15 years, and they still have no idea where the driver's coming from. You know, when the driver expresses a problem, they don't understand it. He says, and you've already got that. So everything else will come. And he was right.
Yeah.
He was right. It was hard.
It's just
what it was.
Learning the computer system.
Yeah, I mean, learning the computers and all that stuff, and that's piece of cake. You know, I'm even doing that now where I work now. The other thing, too, is that, I mean, there's a lot of babies out there. That's why I like doing really what we're doing with Redneck and I, because we understand that the industry's problems, I mean, there's a lot that's not the driver's fault, but there are a lot that are the driver's fault. And the drivers, man, when I was at the dispatch office, they were a bunch of babies. I said, dude, grow a pair, man. Quit freaking crying. So, you know, I mean, you're complaining about every little thing. Nothing's your fault. And let me tell you right now, from where I was sitting, everything's your fault.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just crazy. But, I mean, I've had guys, they say they can't make any money. I said, okay, run what I tell you to run, and that's it. Don't do anything else. And I mean, there were guys that were saying, you want me to run how many miles a day? I can't run no 500 miles a day. That's too much. I said, dude, that's what it takes. So if you can't do it, go ahead and turn your truck in. That's what I tell them.
I didn't get where I wanted to be tonight just because of curfews and whatnot. I'm oversized. So it's just, it kind of, man, I need to run more, but I can't. It sucks.
Yeah. This time of year, you don't get a lot of daylight.
Get up, no, I don't. And that, and going through curfews through towns and whatnot. And I just gotta get my butt up early in the morning and get through it. And I think I can make it up in Kansas somewhere. So
good deal.
I'm actually venturing out of the state of Arizona. My map still works out east. I'm going back to Illinois, and then I pick up another load going down in Indiana and going down to Georgia. So I got a nice week planned ahead of me.
That's awesome. Yep. Cool deal, bud. I think I'm going to get out of here and get to work.
It's about that time for you to go to work, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I'm covering the guy from San Antonio tonight, so I just got to run up to San Antonio and then work the yard, move some trailers around, and then come back. So, like this morning, I usually don't get back till about 7, 7.30. This morning, I got back at 5.15. So, piece of cake.
Piece of cake. Nothing but a walk in the park.
Mm-hmm. Cool deal, man.
All righty, man. Well, have a good night. Be safe.
All right. You too, bud.
Keep it in between the ditches.
Sure will. You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye, man. Is that it? Can you hear it? I tell you what, that my plugs don't work right, so I got to turn it and twist it around a little bit. But here we go. Wind it down. Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We appreciate everybody listening along tonight. Go check out our Facebook page. You'll see all the links to the stuff we've been talking about with the wreck out in Tucson, and then, of course, the articles that we were talking about today. Check us out at redneckandeyes.com. You'll find links to all our social media accounts on there. And thanks to our special sponsors, DPF Regeneration, Trucker Tools, and also Load to Ride Transportation at ltrtransportation.com. We appreciate all their support. So you guys, we'll see you there. We'll be back tomorrow. I think it's the women of Redneck and Eyes will be there tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern time. I'm not real sure yet, but we'll keep you posted. We'll definitely be here 7 p.m. Eastern time every weekday, 515-602-9731. Don't forget to go subscribe to the YouTube channel. I appreciate everybody listening tonight. So y'all stay safe, stay successful, and keep between the ditches. And we'll see you out there on the road.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and Eyes was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and Eyes.